KSFM. Now live from the William Pitt Union, this is the Oakland Campus Review, your number one source for local news at the University of Pittsburgh.
And welcome back for another exciting week of Pitt Views. As always, I'm Dave Goldstein.
I'm Joe Greco.
And today we're joined with a very special guest here, Mr. Mark Rodericus. Am I pronouncing
that? That's good.
He's running for city council for Pittsburgh. The election is on March 14th. I understand you were pretty instrumental in getting the date moved from March 7th to March 14th, that you showed up for a few of the protests that the students weren't allowed to, were going to be out on spring break.
I wouldn't say I was instrumental in it all. I just came up for one rally. I raised a voice saying, hey guys, maybe you should rethink this. And it's not really that big a deal.
Yeah. But I still think it's great that the date got moved so more kids on Pitt's campus can get more involved, because we see that it sort of seems like the college kids are sort of treated as second-class citizens in Pittsburgh because, you know, it's not our permanent home. Do you feel that we're treated equally here?
Well, the important thing will be to have educated voters. It's great to be able to have the convenience of going into the booth to vote, you know, otherwise an absentee ballot. Now, one of the other people talked about that in the November election, there were only 34 people to vote out of the towers on campus.
Right.
But when there was a presidential election, there was more than 1,500. And maybe that's good in a sense that the worst thing we can have is uneducated voters that just sort of, you know, flow into the voting booth like sheep, and they don't know what the heck they're choosing.
Right, I completely agree with that.
So what I wanted to sort of talk and percolate today would be maybe some ways that we could work hard to educate the voting community that's here in Oakland, as well, you know, the students as well as the other people. You know, and the things that we do on City Council have an impact, whether it's there are a lot of college students that came down to council a couple weeks ago to talk about you know, right to life issues and how they're treating things outside the clinics with a Planned Parenthood. You know, and there's the things that got me involved in politics a few years ago was the closing of Pitt Stadium up the hill here. And yeah, there's definitely an impact with the University of Pittsburgh and UPMC being the biggest employers in town now, that we need to keep young people such as yourself able to study and really excel in your field, and then hopefully keep roots here and be able to grow your families here and be able to grow your profession here.
I definitely think that's a huge issue, because so many people on Pitt's campus that I've talked to about the election don't even know what city council does. So what exactly is your platform? What would you do for the city if you were elected to city council?
I think my global view right now is that the city's on empty. You know, when you look at your automobile fuel gauge, there's an arrow there with a needle that points E to F. And right now the city is out of gas. We're emptying our people. We're stalled. And we need to really look at the finances. That's got to be the number one issue. We're nearly bankrupt. The debt ratio is huge. And we've been spending a lot of money in many of the wrong areas. So my philosophy as we approach the campaign is to, you know, move from E to F. And I have four simple points with regarding to the letter F. We need more freedom. We need to think about the future. We need to be fit, and that takes a lot of different components, as well as we have to look at the flow. Right now, we're not going with the flow well. We have to reverse the flow in a big way. And flow also means just simple things like sidewalks and curb cuts and bicycle lanes. But
in order to do all this, wouldn't we need more funds coming in from taxes? Wouldn't we need higher taxes unless we want to drive the city farther into deficit?
I don't think we need higher taxes, because we're already one of the most highest tax places in the world.
But we're also still in a deficit.
Right, but we've been spending lots of money in the wrong areas. Do they want to extend light rail under the Allegheny River to go to the stadiums? 300 nearly $400 million without the cost overruns. That's a lot of money for a very small gain. When it's beautiful to be able to walk across the Clemente Bridge, or you could do a lot of other things with shuttle buses or going from the convention center. There's foolish spending almost at every turn.
But isn't that a much more eco-friendly alternative with everybody driving to the games, with all the buses being taken to the games, especially with the gas prices going up? Wouldn't that end up saving the city money in the long run? Because busing is almost going bankrupt right now because gas prices are so high.
Well, it's way too expensive. I'm going to have to rebuild the downtown T-stop at Gateway Center, which is already a working T-stop, and it's the one that has a turnaround, so that they can shoot over to the north side, and they have to build two over there that only service the stadiums, they're only used a few dozen times a year. And you can end up in the Gateway Center, walk across the bridge, and be there. Talk about being eco-friendly. We're not going to be saving a lot of money at all. So it's just way too expensive. So my philosophy there is, and there's a campaign song on the CDs that we're passing around, it's called Lay the Shovel Down. We're digging a hole, and it's getting deeper and deeper, and they have to stop digging. They just have to lay the shovel down and get out of there. Right now, the thing before council is they want to give a TIF. It's a tax break to PNC Bank, biggest bank in the state, for $18 million. And the governor has already come up and given them $30 million as a grant. There's no way that we should be building PNC Plaza with very rich customers taking money away from our school kids.
But isn't there a big need in Pittsburgh to bring in new companies and bring in some economic growth for the city? Because it is very much struggling. We're seeing a lot of outflow from Pittsburgh. All the young people are leaving Pittsburgh. So don't we need to bring as much incentive as possible to get these new companies in here?
We're on empty. We do need growth, and we need economic development. We need to prosper. But the way to do that isn't to bribe people to move in. And what we've done in the past hasn't worked. So when we open up and we give a grant or some tax financing to one place, it takes businesses away from the other places. So what we're doing is just sort of shuffling the deck, and we're churning, and we're not really getting more prosperity. And the Lazarus and Lord and Taylor are downtown department stores, and they went bust. They didn't hold. So they used their handouts, their corporate welfare for a short number of years. They made some jobs that were temporary, and in the meantime, other businesses that didn't have a benefit have to compete with them, and it didn't work. So we're giving away far too much, and we're not seeing any net gain. And the way to fix it is, for now, is to turn the ship to the other way. And if somebody wants to build a business here because we have a good workforce and because we have a great quality of life, and then we should do that. And hopefully that will be real long-term viable prosperity.
That's another point I wanted to talk to you about corporate welfare. Now, I'm not too clear on the issue of corporate welfare, but wouldn't, under the umbrella of corporate welfare, wouldn't that provide for some of the pensions of employees of a bankrupt company like Enron or something like that? Would that fall under corporate welfare?
There's a couple different ways to slice it. We don't have in our midst much of an Enron. We have U.S. Airways that we could talk about, and they've went bankrupt once or twice. And but there hasn't been a lot of bailout in a sense of that way. Even with the airport itself, was built with a monopoly in mind, and U.S. Airways wrote the specs to build it, and they had tied up all the gates. So when they started to contract and run into bankruptcy problems and get bought out, and then boom, Southwest moved in, and then they pushed the rates down. And soon we're going to have, and actually if not now, we're more flights coming in and out of the airport with more competition. And we were paying high rates with U.S. Airways because they had a monopoly.
Right, but just because the companies, the company brass, just because they have poor policies, why should their employees suffer?
Yeah, the pension thing is not necessarily a corporate welfare. And we have pension problems. You know, there's a difference between, you know, helping an individual and helping a corporation. You know, we have problems negotiating some of our labor contracts in the city. In the past, the old administration, Mayor Murphy, just gave away far too much. You know, so we have some problems. But our pension problems are something that the state should be perhaps looking at. But a pension problem isn't, I don't think, the same as giving a corporate welfare deal to a corporation.
Is it in your opinion that this corporate welfare issue not only hurts businesses in general and competition, but also the individual worker? Or what are some of the large-scale effects of corporate welfare in Pittsburgh right now?
Well, with the case of U.S. Airways, there was not going to be another airline to move into this marketplace when U.S. Airways was here and they had a good monopoly and a good handle on all the gates. There was no way another person would come into the marketplace and open a department store, a men's shop, when Lazarus or Lord & Taylor were selling shirts, but they could do so and not pay the same amount of taxes. So, yeah, it wasn't fair. And I definitely have a free market approach where I want to be able to have government do the things that government should be doing, you know, taking care of police, taking care of the roads, taking care of the basics, and then letting the marketplace do their things. But we're going to be in trouble when we have our governmental officials, you know, playing real estate developers and things of that nature that gets out of the bounds of what government should be doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it's very, it makes sense to me at least that it would be in the best interest of the city to promote competition to help the economy rather than hand out money and hurt competition. You know, there are two distinct methods to go, different ways to go about doing that, and it seems like the free market approach is clearly the best.
Well, I think that there needs to be a little bit of government regulation, but we'll pick back up that point after we pause for a moment for a PSA. You're listening to Pitt Views on WPTS Pittsburgh.
Do you need help with your paper for class? The Writing Center can help. University students, faculty, and staff can go to the Writing Center to meet with experienced consultants to get help with their writing. It is located in room M2 of Thaw Hall. For more information, see www.english.pitt.edu/writing-center.
You're listening to Pitt Views on WPTS Pittsburgh with Dave Goldstein and Joe Greco. Today we're talking to Mark Rauticus, who's running for City Council. And we're talking about government regulation of businesses. Now, I really feel that we need a little bit of government regulation to avoid these monopolies that have been so big in the news.
Absolutely. On City Council, you know, I'm a common sense libertarian. We need some regulations, you know, but what we have now is so far overburdened and overregulated. And we have people in council, there are nine of them, they're all from the same party. And I think everybody agrees that when you hire the last person on City Council, you don't want to hire one of, like we've had. You know, and we have, you know, this humongous debt. We have, you know, bankruptcy. We have two oversight boards. So having a little bit of regulation isn't the problem. You know, having a little bit of freedom is a problem because it's really going away. And with oversight boards, that means, you know, our democracy's, you know, being crippled too. The power of City Council is much less because every expenditure now has to get approved by two different oversight boards. So I'm not an anarchist by any means. And we need to, though, turn the ship in the other direction. We've been, another analogy has been made that we've been running the ship of Pittsburgh onto the rocks time and time again. We get a little bit of money in the pocket, and then, boom, we spend it in the wrong way, and we spend it in the wrong way, and we're just beating ourselves up by doing the same thing over and over again. So I want to break status quo, and I want to turn us toward the marketplace. And being on council with one voice out of nine, it, I think, will be my job to put new ideas and different solutions onto the table. And then most of the time I'll probably get overvoted with the other guys, the other majority. But at least this time we'd have a chance to put fresh ideas on the table. And it would also give us a chance to be a little bit of a hub or a lightning rod so that other people from around the county and around the state, as well as, you know, throughout the city, would be able to say, hey, Mark, if we thought about this, you know, why don't we try to do something a little bit better? So I hope to be a good voice of change. And then every member of council, and I talk about this a little bit on the CD that I have, is has a committee that they're in charge of. And I want to be hired, and I want to be in charge of the committee that addresses youth policy and city parks. There's not a person on Grand Street that really cares about the kids and about the youthful experience. And then it, other things that might come about that, from starting small businesses to using technology and things of that nature. So we have some parks that we have to take care of and be stewards of. And we have our children that we have to raise. And having an opportunity to raise a family in Pittsburgh, it means a lot to a lot of people. And I don't think they've been given their fair share on city council. So I would be a vigorous leader with regards to the city parks policies and with regards to youth policy. And there I'd have a lot of successes. You know, we had the past mayor was a marathon runner. But now for 2 years we haven't had a marathon, for Pete's sakes. You know,
right.
And there was a way to run the marathon down the busway or in an out and back course where you didn't need so many officers doing so much overtime and tying up the entire city. You know, churchgoers couldn't go to church because it was cutting through every neighborhood, and it was sort of a nice thing, but it really didn't help with the flow of the city that day. And it was very hard to the monitor and the police. You know, and there are other ways that we could run a marathon in this city. Akron has two marathons, and Pittsburgh has none. You know, so those types of things, I would be able to work well with the city, work well with the coaches, work well with the school district. And the interface between the parks things and the school things is abysmal. And so those things, I think, would have scored some serious victories right away. And then when it comes to some of the corporate welfare things, I put other ideas on the table and hope for the best.
A lot of your press releases have been about the Penguins and they're repeating that they're going to be sold. And you're a big supporter of the plan to co-finance them with a casino moving in, is that right?
Not exactly, no. I had a couple points with regards to the Civic Arena that if we take some of the windfalls from the gambling and they offered to build Mario a new arena, then I want them to keep the arena. I don't want them to give it to the taxpayers or give it to the city. You know, we're treading water here, and the last thing I want is them to throw an anchor on our shoulders. So if Mario gets a new arena because of this gambling deal, it should be Mario's arena. You know, he should insure it, he should pay taxes on it, it should be his to program as he wishes. And then at the same time, that Civic Arena that's there now, the Mellon Arena, is a public building, and I don't want them to tear that down. If we're going to have progress here, one plus one is two, and that's progress. You know, let's build a new arena, but let's not tear down the one that's there. You know,
what do we use the old arena for?
If we have tractor pools, or we have circus, or we have Disney on Ice, Carrick High School uses that arena for their high school graduation. And you don't need catering and leather seats and luxury boxes for a Carrick High School graduation. You know, it's a civic arena that has other needs and other abilities to hold, you know, smaller shows or different venues.
But how much incentive? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
All right. I was just going to ask, do you think it's realistic to expect that this new arena for the Penguins could be adequately financed, considering how Pittsburgh is doing it at this point in time?
There's a lot of money with gambling. And, you know, that's the tail that's wagging the dog around here, these parts. And that's a shame. And I didn't like gambling, and I think we need to have strong voices to watch what's going to happen. But, you know, if this is going to come down the pike, yes, there's definitely enough money in the gambling slush funds and the revenues that they're going to be able to build a number of things. Now, I think one of the silliest things to do would be to build an arena for Mario when we have crumbling infrastructure and sewer lines and other things. We have, school problems, and we can't teach our kids how to read and write. But if the will of the people, and there are a lot of people that, you know, love the Penguins, and there are a lot of people that are in power that have been elected that are pushing for this as well. You know, there's a lot of sex appeal or sizzle that goes with, you know, building a new arena too. But, I'm just then guarding the flanks and say, you know, build the new arena if you must. But if you do, don't take down the old one. You know, keep it to yourselves. And perhaps maybe it shouldn't even be built inside the city. You know, if we built the new arena out at the old airport, they're trying to develop that area as well. It's part of the county, you know, and it wouldn't tie up things. We're already going to be building a new gambling casino, which is by mandate needing to be in the city. And I know Mario doesn't want to be on the third floor and have the first floor being a gambling casino. You know, the hockey arena is going to be different from the gambling hall, the casino. And there's still other threats of a horse track going out to Hayes and such.
But since the Pens are such a big symbol of the city of Pittsburgh, do you think it's really a wise idea to associate them so closely with a casino, saying that the casino completely owns the stadium and completely financed the stadium, when the casinos are a bit of an unsavory element, when the Pens are so much of an identity of Pittsburgh? Wouldn't that send a not great message out to the rest of the country?
Yeah, absolutely.
That we're letting a casino run our hockey team.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we should have those ties, and I don't think it's a good idea. And I'm with you that I agree that the gambling money should be able to come in and help for the general fund, and perhaps not be tied to any specific, you know, project or new jewel on the landscape, because it's it isn't anything that we should be, you know, investing on and attaching to our persona as a, you know, hard working class city.
That's a great point. You're listening to Pitt Views on WPTS Pittsburgh. We're talking with Mark Rodericus, who's a candidate for city council. Now, there's a lot of really interesting points on your website. I was reading one article you had posted on there from Misha Gilman about the 2000 election, about why you supported Nader. I just want to go back to that, because I always thought that was an interesting topic, why people supported Nader. Now, why do you think that when people voted for Nader, they were making a change? Because if they all voted for Gore, then we wouldn't have Bush in power. Do you really think that Bush and Gore are both just as bad?
Yeah, we're turning the clock back, about 8 years or so, right? And I, at that time, was registered as a Republican, and I campaigned for Nader. And I thought he, you know, spoke strongly about this, you know, ending corporate welfare. And I thought that the D's and the R's were very similar. And, I think, you know, politics is complicated, you know, but voting needs to be simple. And this, you know, if you voted for him, you really voted for them. No nonsense. You know, it's voting is simple. You vote for the person that you want to support. And otherwise, people vote with their feet. And that's sort of something that we haven't quite understood so much around here. A lot of times an election will be won because there's a lot of apathy, and the old machine or the old network wins it out.
You're definitely seeing that even with this modern election,
sure,
that less than 50% of teenagers showed up.
And more recently, in 4 years ago, I asked Nader, you know, on numerous occasions with letters personally, you know, to not run. You know, he tried. He put forth a nice effort. He didn't get a lot of votes, but he shouldn't have run again, you know, without the Green Party nomination. He shouldn't have run again. You know, he was sort of, I think, recently in the way, you know. So, you know, but I did find some hope with the Libertarian candidate, the guy named Michael Badnarik. You know, so I threw my vote there, and that was a vote for him. He spoke strongly as a scholar in constitutional areas, and so I felt like I could contribute with a vote from him. So, you know, I think we need in this country, you know, the D's and the R's have gotten very entangled. Even in Harrisburg, they both have big slush funds, and only the D's and the R's, they sort of worked together in their caucus, you know, and they gave themselves a big pay raise. Well, there wasn't a single Libertarian to vote for that, you know, pay raise. And they have a lot of money that came into the state, especially from gambling, no less. It started with riverboat gambling, and then it expanded into other, or the horse tracks and the racetrack and the casinos and the racinos. So we've had a lot of problems, I think, because the status quo with the D's and the R's, and I think we need to break out of that to really find the best solution.
But how do you think we could break out of that sort of gridlock we have? We have, I think it's two independent people in Congress that aren't affiliated with the Democrats or Republicans, and there's no national funding for any, for the Independent Party, for the Green Party, for any of these other parties. So how do you think that America can break out of this two-party system that we're sort of locked into?
It has to start locally, you know, in like races like this for city council. We need to be able to build, you know, on county level. And then when we have leaders that emerge, you know, they need to be able to step out and do the thing that they feel is right and proper. But you know, so I, in a certain way, if I win on city council on this March 14th, the term is only for a year and a half, and it may happen that I win in a sense because there are 5, 6, 7, 8 other people that are going to be on the ballots, and they're all Democrats in one form or another. And if I win because the D's split their vote, that probably wouldn't happen a year and a half from now.
Right.
So I'm going to have to do an amazing, stellar job in that short term because they're going to gang up on me. And that has happened a lot, too. And actually, when Jesse the Body Ventura, you know, won in Minnesota, there was certain calls around the nation that independents can't thrive. You know, we have to beat them down. So, and the D's and the R's understood that, you know, so they often gang up on a on an independent. And there are some, you know, complicated things that happen with politics.
We also saw something like this happen with the presidential debates 2 years ago. This basically, I know that the Libertarian candidate, Michael Badnarik, tried to get onto the debate on ABC and was denied. He was arrested because he was not permitted to go on with Bush and Kerry.
Yeah, those are sad days for America. You know, sad days for democracy. You know, you guys are doing a good job by allowing us to come in, your candidates to come in, and you know, I hope to see school public health, law school, business schools, academic departments, fraternities, sororities get together. You know, the Pitt News, I'd love to see them have a debate. You know, some other things happening here in the student union. You know,
we're definitely the voice of independence here in Pittsburgh. We're on Pitt Views on WPTS Pittsburgh. I just want to talk for a little bit about some national issues that fall under your party. One of the most interesting ones I saw was that you support building a border between the U.S. and Mexico, much like the wall built in Israel between mainland Israel and the Gaza Strip. How do you think that would affect the U.S. economy that thrives so much based on immigrants coming over that we don't have to pay minimum wage to, that are doing a lot of the grunt work that a lot of Americans would not do?
Well, this isn't a real hot issue with me in a sense that, you know, we're pretty far removed from Mexico or Texas and the
California. Well, on your website,
I've thought through in public a lot of different things. So, no, I don't want to step away from it, but I am absolutely in favor of free trade and free travel, you know, for law-abiding citizens. And actually, we've gone to China three times in the last 2 years, and we've always taken Pitt graduate students with us, you know, to help. And my wife's a faculty member here. You know, so I've been blessed and fortunate enough to travel around the world. But we do need to be able to control borders, and we do need to have law-abiding citizens coming in. And, you know, once that happens, then we can, you know, perhaps raise the numbers so that they're not, you know, being flooded and overburdening, you know, the systems that are there, the from the daycares to the schools, to the education aspects, in the hospitals especially. We have to be able to control our borders, you know, and be able to enforce things. And, you know, the things that are happening with the boat people or the things that are happening with people trying to be smuggled in and out of the country, you know, just can't occur. That's putting people's, you know, lives, you know, at risk. You know, so I think law law-abiding citizens should be able to travel and should be able to. We should be able to have free trade. And yes, if there are temporary jobs here that that we need workers and there's not a work base here, you know, we need to be able to be a home for people from around the world and be the melting pot that made America great.
But this is in a way contrary to the whole libertarian philosophy, because aren't libertarians for a smaller government and less government control? And by building a wall, we're sort of making ourselves into almost like a castle run by the government. Isn't building a wall a physical boundary, the ultimate government control?
I'm not so sure if you also look at how big the gangplank is to enter the castle. You know, if you're going to put a roof over your head, you know, you need to have a wall to hold it up. Now, it doesn't matter. You know, the wall is different from the door or the window. You know, and if we can't have, you know, a big tent without having, you know, some big stakes in the hole, in Oak Grind, too. So, you know, I think you would have to take it apart a little bit more. And I'm not saying nobody should come into the States. And I'm saying I definitely am very much for, you know, even my campaign manager, you know, teaches English as a second language, and we need to be able to assimilate people into our culture and into our language and into our way. So being able to be protective of some of the services, you know, especially, you know, in Florida or the, you know, the southern states, is very important.
So you're much more concerned with the illegal trafficking of people across the borders rather than, of course, legal immigration, because many people do enter this country illegally every day. So you're in favor of just putting an end to that and having those people maybe, you know, get green cards and come
yes.
legally so that they may work.
Absolutely.
So, okay.
All right, and we're going to end on that note. This has been great. Thank you a lot. Mark Rodericus is running for city council. Come out on March 14th. Vote in the special election. We moved it just so these Pitt students could vote, so it's not during our spring break. So let's let our voices be heard. So as always, oh, let's do a plug for your website. It's www.electrodericus.com. That's R-A-U-T-E-R-K-U-S. Rodericus.com.
Guys, just get out there to vote. It's big, you know, because change starts at a small level. And if you want change on a national level, you have to start local.
Amen to that. And as always, I'm Dave Goldstein.
I'm Joe Greco.
And this has been Pitt Views on WPTS Pittsburgh.